Good morning. For scripture, I'm going to be reading from section 83, paragraphs 7 and 8. Section 83, beginning with verse 7. And now I give unto you a commandment, to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. For the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light. And whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the spirit giveth life to every man that cometh into the world. And the spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth unto the voice of the spirit. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teacheth him of the covenant, which he has received and confirmed upon you, which is confirmed upon you for your sakes, and not only for your sakes only, but for the sake of the whole world. And the whole world lieth in sin, and groaneth under darkness, and under the bondage of sin. And by this you may know they are under the bondage of sin, because they come not unto me. For whoso cometh not unto me is under the bondage of sin, and whoso receiveth not my voice is not acquainted with my voice, and is not of me. And by this you may know the righteous from the wicked, and that the whole world groaneth under sin and darkness even now. And your minds in times past have been darkened because of unbelief, and because you've treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief hath brought the whole church under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written, that they may bring forth fruit meet for their Father's kingdom. Otherwise, there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of Zion. For shall the children of the kingdom pollute my holy land? Verily I say unto you, nay. The theme for today is Face the Darkness. Darkness is a noun. It's an absence of light. And in Genesis 1:2 we read, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness also means obscurity, want of clearness and perspicuity. That quality or state which renders anything difficult to be understood, as the darkness of counsels. A state of being intellectually clouded in ignorance. And in John 3:19, it is written, men love darkness rather than light. And that verse was speaking of Jesus Christ coming into the world. Darkness can also mean the empire of Satan. In Colossians 1:3, we see it is written, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, Jesus Christ, through faith in his name we are delivered from the power of darkness. I just read in section 83, verse 8a, it talks about having been in darkness. Your minds in times past have been darkened because of unbelief and because you've treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. Have you ever thought about that, about the church being in condemnation since it was restored? I know as I've read history, it's amazing how we have so much that the Lord has given us in the Restoration Gospel, bringing forth the Book of Mormon and restoring the covenants and the knowledge of those covenants of those who have come before us. And yet, people still sought after more. What is unbelief? Well, it's the opposite of faith. We have faith in God and in Jesus Christ. If we don't have faith in Him, it's unbelief. Even though we may be told something, even though we may be shown something, we may choose to either ignore it or we may just not give it very much importance. Which goes to the second question here. What does it mean to treat something lightly? We're not really serious about something. We don't give it much credence. It's low on our priority list. What is it that the saints treated lightly? In section 83, 8b, and this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. So there's a condemnation meaning that there are those in the church who were in darkness because they treated lightly this great, wonderful gospel and the restoration of the gospel. They treated it lightly. And it says here that it rests upon the children of Zion, even all, and they remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written. So we may say we believe in Christ. We may say that we believe in the restoration gospel, but are we doing what He's asked us to do? Are we keeping His commandments? In section 1, verses 5, D, and E, we read, and after having received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., might have power to translate through the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon. And also those whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church and to bring it forth out of obscurity. Obscurity is another word for darkness. And out of darkness. So the church has been in obscurity and in darkness. The only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased. Speaking under the church collectively and not individually. This is the church that He founded with Adam. And it went on down from Adam to all his sons and to Enoch to the point where they came to an understanding of the everlasting covenant that He made with Enoch. And of course we know the story that they were so close and they walked with God that He, after 365 years, He was taken. Enoch and the city were taken from the earth. But that church still lives down throughout the ages. And He moved His hand to restore it during many different times of our history. And He restored it in these last days. So when He speaks under the church, He's speaking under the church and general assembly of the church of the firstborn, those who are the true followers of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 30, Isaiah was speaking under the house of Israel. And if we remember our history, Israel, even in the beginning at Mount Sinai, when Moses first went up to the mount, they thought that he was lost after 40 days and 40 nights in the mount. And so what did they do? They went and turned after the gods of Egypt and built themselves a golden calf. Moses came down and he was pretty upset. And he destroyed that first set of commandments that were on the tables of stone written by the hand of the Lord. And as a result of their wickedness and the hardness of their hearts, the house of Israel was placed under bondage of the law of Moses. And so we have this time, a period that after many years, the house of Israel, even though they had the law, they still could not even keep the law. And so we saw the kingdoms of Israel split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. And eventually we saw that the Assyrians and then the Babylonians came in and scattered them to the four corners of the earth. And the prophet Isaiah says to the house of Israel, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And the meek also shall increase, and their joy shall be in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." The deaf shall hear the words of the book. That was one of the purposes of the restoration of the church, was to bring forth the fullness of the gospel. And my last time I spoke, I think it was last August, I asked you the question, what is the fullness of the gospel? It is the word written into the Lamanites, which are a remnant of the house of Israel, and also to Jew and Gentile. And this is right off the Book of Mormon title page. And the purposes of the fullness of the gospel in the Book of Mormon was to show what great things the Lord has done for their fathers. Why do we need to know and think upon the great things that the Lord has done for our fathers, for Adam, for Enoch, and for Moses, and for David, for all of those great men of God that have come before us? We need to remember the great things that God has done for them, that we might know of the covenants of the Lord. And when we come to know the covenants of the Lord, we might know that the house of Israel, and we are part of the house of Israel by adoption, that we are not cast off forever. There is always hope, and he will move his hand to restore the house of Israel and bring them out of the darkness which they have been in. The fullness of the gospel is to the convincing of the Jew and the Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God. There is no other God. There is only him. And that he does manifest himself unto all the nations. He is no respecter of persons. His love reaches forth unto all nations, all those that will hearken unto his voice. So the fullness of the gospel came forth that the church of Jesus Christ might come forth out of obscurity and darkness. One of the things that is mentioned there is the idea of a covenant. That word covenant is a noun, and from Latin it means to come, a coming together, a meeting or agreement of minds. And in theology, the covenant of works is that implied in the commands, prohibitions, and promises of God. The promise of God to man that man's perfect obedience should entitle him to happiness. This do and live, that do and die. Did not Jesus say, "If you love me, keep my commandments"? When we enter into a covenant relationship as an individual in this church, once a month or as often as needed, we come to remember that covenant and in the sacrament prayer upon the bread. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he hath given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Part of the covenant in the gospel is to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. And in the Hebrew custom, and in some other cultures, non-Western cultures, because our Western culture doesn't really necessarily fully understand what a covenant truly is. You go to Africa, though, and many of the tribes there, they know exactly what a covenant is. But it means to take upon you the name of Christ. So when people look at you, they should see Jesus Christ in you. Just like in Africa, you hear the stories. I think it was Stanley Livingston, and somebody was looking for Stanley Livingston. But the gentleman gave up his goat. He had really bad stomach problems, so he had this goat, and he could only drink goat's milk. Well, the chief wanted his goat. So he decided that he would go ahead and give his goat. He would give up the thing that was most prized to him, and the chief in return gave him a staff. Well, wherever he went, when other tribes saw that staff, they recognized him as a representative of that chief, of that tribe. And he was well respected amongst all the other tribes. So whenever we come to remember the covenant that we made in the waters of baptism, we take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to always remember him. I know sometimes that's hard with all of the things going on in the world around us. We sometimes put him off, we treat him lightly, at least more lightly than we should. We're also called to keep his commandments, which he's given us. If we remember him, we take upon the name of Jesus Christ, we remember him and keep his commandments, what's the promise? That we may always have his Spirit to be with us. If his Spirit isn't with us, then we must not be doing something there. We must be forgetting him. We're not keeping his commandments. Because if we don't follow these things, his Spirit won't be with us. We read in Mosiah chapter 3, where King Benjamin is speaking unto his people, and he expounded the words of the Lord unto all his people. And when he expounded the words, he asked them, "Do you believe the words of God?" And they said, "Yes." And he then said, "And now because of the covenant which you have made," when they said, "Yes, we believe the word of God," that is what allowed them to enter into a covenant with God, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. "Because of the covenant you have made, you shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters." And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now if it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name, therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. I pray that for each one of us, that we may be diligent in heeding to the words of God, that we may treat it seriously. For to take upon the name of Jesus Christ, there is no greater privilege, but it is also a responsibility to ourselves and to others. And according to the covenant, in section 81:3b, we read, "I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, you have no promise." So if we keep the commandments, we remember him. that his spirit might be with us. He's bound to do what he said. Think of that covenant when Abraham told him to leave his father and all his family. It took a few years for God to fulfill that with Abraham, and he's still working to fulfill that covenant even today through every single one of us, that Abrahamic covenant. But because Abraham was obedient to what God asked him to do, he brought forth a blessing to him and made a covenant with Abraham. And he even changed his name from Abram to Abraham as a sign of that new birth within him. Going back to section 83, verse 8c, we are called to bring forth fruit, meat of our Father's kingdom. As we live our lives, we're called to bring forth fruit. Remember the time when Jesus with his disciples, and they saw a fig tree, and it did not have any fruit. And he cursed it. And the next day, when they came, the disciples were rather amazed because the tree had withered and died because it brought forth no fruit. If we do not bring forth fruit, it says there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of Zion. For shall the children of the kingdom pollute my holy land? Verily I say unto you, nay. And as we've been reading in the Book of Mormon, we also know of the scriptures that speak of the blessings upon this land. This land is the land of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and whatsoever nation possesses it shall serve the Lord of the land, which is Jesus Christ. But if they turn from the Lord, then eventually he will move his hand to sweep them off. Is the fruit in our life meat for our Father's kingdom? That's something that we have to look at and examine ourselves daily, especially as we prepare for the sacrament. We have a sacrament coming up next Sunday. What is the fruit in our life, and is it meat for our Father's kingdom? Does it bring glory and honor to him? We're talking about facing the darkness. And the darkness is an absence of light. So we see in section 83, verse paragraph 7, and now I give you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed. Diligent. We should be diligent. This should be something, a priority in our life, to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. There's another scripture that says, as God speaks, it goes forth, and it does not return unto him void. The word of God goes forth, and it's going to produce fruit, and it's going to come back to him bearing that fruit. We should allow ourselves, by giving diligent heed to the words of eternal life, even every word that proceeds forth the mouth of God, if we have surrendered ourselves to Jesus Christ through faith in him, then it should bear fruit unto God. And he's the one who receives the glory, not ourselves. Because it is not as our works, but it is the works of God in us, for us allowing him to work through us. In 7b it says, for the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light, and whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. The everlasting covenant, it talks about when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upwards. What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way and the life. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we find ourselves having difficulty in our life, and we know not which way to turn, I've heard it said that Christians are oftentimes referred to as tea bags because they function best in hot water. But it really is better if we hearken unto the word of the Lord all the time, because it makes it so much easier for us when we come to a difficult time that we have that strong, firm foundation. We know the word is there. We turn to it in our times of difficulty. And how many times I've turned and opened it up, and there's the answer right there that I need for me in my life. He is a personal God. He loves me, and he loves each and every one of you. And I'll tell you that one of the ways that you know, when you deal with spirits in the world, one of the way, there's the spirit of God, there's the spirit of man, and there's the spirit of the adversary. And I know for every time that I have experienced the spirit of the Lord, that it has been through his word that I know it is him speaking. Because when I have a question about something, I'm not given over to a spirit of dumbfoundedness or confusion, or I have to give it an extra thought, and I have to analyze this really to figure it out. His spirit rests upon me, and he gives me the answers through his word. I look to this scripture, and he gives me this scripture, and he gives me this scripture, and he gives me this scripture, and they all come together. And my mind is brought forth out of darkness, out of confusion, unto understanding. It is the light and spirit of Jesus Christ. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us direction on where we should walk and a light on where the path is. Because sometimes the path may not be very visible. And I remember an experience in a dream that I had vision. I call it more of a vision that I had. And in this vision, I saw this beautiful valley. And I saw this path going towards a mountain, and it was a high mountain. And at the top of that mountain was a bright light, and I knew that was where I needed to go. But this valley looked awfully warm and inviting. I could probably stay there if I had wanted to, but my heart was being drawn towards the top of that mountain. So I began headed towards that mountain, and there was these steep stairs. You see the pictures of the pyramids and stuff, and you see those staircases, and I'm going like, man, I don't know if I'm in shape to climb those things. They're steep. So I began climbing, and as I did, clouds came in around me, and darkness, and lightning, and thunder, and began to shake even the mountain I was climbing up. But I continued to look up and climb towards where I knew the light of Jesus Christ was. Soon the mountain began to shake even more, and it was like a volcano, and there was lava around me. And it was hot and steamy, and it was difficult. And at about that time, I looked up, and I could not see the path, the stairs. I could not even see the stairs that I was supposed to be climbing. But I heard a voice of Jesus say, "You must proceed on faith." So I put my foot up to the next step where I knew that step was. And then I moved my other foot up to the next step where I knew that step was supposed to be, trusting in the Lord my God. How do we face the darkness? You can't face the darkness by continuing to look at the darkness. Turn and look unto the Lord our God. Hearken unto the words of eternal life, which is truth and light, which is Jesus Christ.